Hello and welcome to Talking Ghosts with your talking hosts, Sean.
And Lisa.
Right, before we get into this week's podcast, which is very exciting. I've been waiting for this for a couple of weeks now. We've got a couple of questions, so okay. we'll get sort of through these before we start. So Louise has been in touch, and this is following the last podcast that we did. A couple of questions. When people see spirit or ghosts in certain areas, for example, a historical building, why do you think that they are there often in the same area and often doing the same thing? And then she says, do you think they're stuck in a loop due to their circumstances of passing?
Absolutely not. That's the first thing. They're not stuck in a loop. But we have talked about this.
Yep.
The key thing to work out is, are they interacting with you? If they're not interacting with you, and when I say interacting, I mean giving you a shiver, you know, we've talked about that, somebody walking over your grave or, you know, trying to kind of get your attention. If they're not doing that, it's more of a time slip. And we will have to do one on time slips, you know, and what they look like. But what I mean by a time slip is that you're seeing something from the past.
But why are they there?
Well, they're not there, are they?
Okay, but why? Why are we seeing?
Time is slipping. For whatever reason, you have managed to kind of to go into the past. And it's not always the past. Sometimes people can go a bit into the future.
So like a portal is open.
Oh, don't, like, right. Okay, not portals. We're not going to talk about portals. Don't get me started on portals. I don't believe in portals. We will have to do portals as one of our podcast subjects, but no, it's hard to explain if you don't do this kind of thing. But you and I know that we see stuff and we hear stuff. But also, you give them the story about your Roman
soldier,
and maybe that will help clarify a little bit.
Yeah. So when I was, I think up 3 or 4, and I could still sort of picture it now every time I talk about it. So a couple of things happened. We lived in this house, and I remember going outside one evening to see where my mum was, because we had a coal shed out the back. It was a very old-fashioned house, no central heating, etc. And as I went out through the back door, standing in the garden was a Roman soldier, just standing there in all, you know, dressed as a proper Roman soldier, yeah, as you see on.
I just had a little bit of information about that, actually. I didn't have the last time.
What is
that he was a sentry, he was guarding.
Wow, I'm going to tingle now.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely tingling. I didn't have that the last time you told me, but they just brought in some information. Thank you. That's
so nice. So I sort of saw him, ran back in, and then a few other things happened in that house. I had my own bedroom, woke up in the middle of the night, and I could just hear soldiers marching. You know, really heavy marching, and nobody else could hear it.
Yeah.
And then when we moved out of the house, archaeologists went in there because there's a Roman castle just around the corner, and it was built on a burial ground. So what I saw was a time slip.
He
hadn't come to show himself to me.
No, absolutely not. He was going about his daily business, and you just happened to slip into that time.
So he would have been standing there. It was pitch black.
Yeah.
But obviously he was seeing something different to what I was seeing.
And we can time slip to the future as well as the past, which sounds really crackers, I know. Bear with me. But we can, you know.
But is that then deja vu?
No, I don't think it's. I think deja vu is something completely separate. I think deja vu is stuff that we've seen in our past lives. Completely separate to that. But I know it's hard for our listeners to get their head around that. But the way to tell is, usually when spirit come through, they want to give you a message. They want to let you know that they're there. They want to let you know that maybe, you know, we've talked about spirits being left in houses before and stuff, that you're on their kind of, in their house, etc. But when somebody is just not interacting and appears to all the world as if you're invisible, time slips.
It's very interesting, time slips, isn't it? Because you just think that...
You hear the cracking.
Yes.
Whenever I get something right. So I hope it's picked it up on this, but there'll be a crack in the corner. But yes.
So would you say then the majority of like visitations or that when people see something is purely a time slip that you know,
I think the majority of visitations are family and things coming to interact with us. I think the time slips are more rare, but they do happen. So what you had is quite rare.
Yeah, and that would be normally somebody who's not associated with your family. It's just
a stranger. Yeah, you're on their territory. It would have been where you were, they would have been guarding. That Roman soldier was guarding. My spirit guides just told me. So you just happened to go there. Were you tired? Was it in the night?
It was the night, yeah, it was dark.
Yeah. So when we've talked about this before, when we're tired, our energy kind of, you know, our vibration kind of changes and we're more able to tune ourselves into other things. And so that is probably why.
Very interesting. And don't forget, if you're listening and you've had an experience, like a visitation or you've seen something, let us know and share it with us.
And you want to know the difference. I'm happy to kind of go over that or what it was or what they were doing.
Excellent. And then Louise has another, which she says, big question.
Right.
She's interested on our thoughts about some people entertain the idea of a parallel universe or alternative realities where multiple versions of oneself may exist simultaneously, each living a different life. What are your thoughts?
I don't know whether I describe it exactly like that. And I don't claim to be an all-knowing, all-seeing guru, just putting that out there. I do believe something like that does exist, though. I do believe in parallel universes. I don't necessarily believe that we are in different universes all at the same time. I know that's one theory. I am often shown, when I go into meditation and things like that, myself in a different situation. I'm often shown that. But I don't believe that it's in a different universe. I believe it's on the other side. I believe that we don't have 100%. This is going to blow your minds. I don't believe that we have 100% of our soul on this side. I believe a percentage of our soul resides on the other side.
Wow.
And I've been shown that time and time again.
That's interesting. So
just because I've never talked to you about that before.
That is like blowing my mind.
I think you missed the circle. You missed the circle this week. I think either this week or last week we talked about that. Yeah.
That has blown my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen that repeatedly. And people in our circle pick it up as well, have picked it up. And I've had to say, they've seen a child or, you know, that's me.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
We can talk about it more on another podcast. Yeah, so we're living on this earth plane, but then an element of our soul is doing something else somewhere else.
Somewhere else. I really feel it's keeping us on the straight and narrow rather than having a job, you know. Because when I see spirit, certainly me and a lot of people, not you know, other people see spirit differently. I see them, the taller they are, the more powerful, the more kind of the longer they've been around, the more they've elevated themselves. When I see this kind of thing, you usually see yourself as a child. So that to me, based on my evidence and knowledge, means that it's a smaller percentage of yourself that resides on the other side.
This lends itself to another podcast because there's a lot here, isn't it?
There's a lot.
And so, Louise, we hope that's answered it to a certain degree.
Or confused.
You know, it's it is a big sort of area.
It's a huge area.
You know, we'll talk in depth on a podcast in the sort of future. And then we've got another question from Karis. If someone went missing, could you help the family with finding them? So there's a lot of psychics.
It's a tricky one, this one.
Yeah, and I think it lends itself to a couple of people, not going to mention names, that went missing last year, and all of a sudden everybody on TikTok was, she's not there, this has happened, etc. Everybody was a detective.
Yeah.
It's quite a dangerous sort of field to get involved in, isn't it?
It is hugely. I don't personally get involved. If I was asked by the family, I would try and help to the best of my ability. But I mean, I'm not, this is not kind of putting down other mediums, because different mediums, we talk about this all the time, work in different ways, have different rules that apply to them. For me, somebody would have to ask me directly to help with that. Otherwise, I wouldn't get involved, because therein lies potentially huge amount of trauma for the family. You're speculating. And as we know in this game, you know, you're only as good as your last reading. You're only as good as the last thing you did. If you're, you'll tend to find as a medium, if you're straying into things that you really shouldn't be straying into, inaccuracies come in. And so personally, I wouldn't do that unless I was asked directly by the family or the police to do that. From my own personal point of view. I'm not saying people are wrong to try and help with that, because I don't like to get into that kind of slating of other mediums either. But that's my own person. Don't do any more harm than the obvious harm that is kind of happening at the moment. And if the police need your help, they'll ask for your help.
Yeah, yeah.
Is my attitude to that.
So, Karis, I hope that sort of answers your question. And yeah, as I said earlier, any questions you've got, drop us a line on Facebook or on our TikTok, and we'll answer them.
Yeah.
So back to today's theme. What happens when you die? So my first sort of point is, do we have a death date? And I'll tell you why I asked that question. We did a meditation the best part of 10, 12 years ago with another sort of class that I was in. And we were taken to the Great Hall, into a room. Sat at a desk, and then behind the desk was a person dressed in the most beautiful white sort of suit, and on the table was our book of life,
right,
with our name and our date of birth, but we weren't allowed to open it,
right?
So is, as well as having a birth date when you come into the world, is there a death date?
Yes or no? It's never going to be that easy, was it?
No.
Yes, there is a death date. I really feel like there are several off-ramps within that we could potentially come off at. I believe that through careless behaviour, and what informs this is, you know, you and I have both, we've got somebody in circle at the moment who's being warned about risky behaviour in and around a motorbike. I won't mention who. I don't believe kind of that an accident is inevitable. I do believe that we can exhibit risky behaviour that will bring us way ahead of our due date, if that makes sense.
Okay. But then, can you dodge your due date? Have you seen the film's Final Destination?
Yes. Some, I haven't seen them all. One was enough. Part of one with the kids when they were younger was enough for me. But I get the premise.
So can you dodge your due date? If it was probably like accident related.
I think because we're straying into horror now as well, aren't we? Because we're kind of and we both know it's not like that, you know. I've been shown people in the past, when I was a less experienced medium, I've been shown people's death dates. They've been proven to be true. I never will tell anybody, and it's so controversial now that I've asked my guys not to show me anything. And you know this, I've talked about this ad nauseum so many times, that it never does anybody any good to know that.
No, not at all. Because like when you book a holiday, you get a count. You kind of get a countdown on your phone. And every day, 30 days to go. The last thing you want is to get up every day and have a countdown to
your death
day, saying, I've got 90 days left, you know.
But the more common than that is people asking me about people. You'd be surprised at the amount of people that ask me about relatives and when they're going to die. It's more common than their own, asking about their own demise. But I'd seen several times a court situation. I feel like for the majority of us, there's not huge amounts of judgments, and I'll tell you why I think that in a minute. But for people that do really bad, really bad things, I had a lady was doing a reading, and I said, all I can see is a court. and family, past family are coming in, out, giving their two penneth worth. This courtroom in spirit was chaotic. It wasn't like you would see it here. Absolutely chaotic. And there was a light being stood in judgment of this man. The judgment was that this man went to another universe and started again. And we talk about levels, you know, and planes that we're on. And if we learn, we move up planes. And that is true. Okay, that is true. It doesn't mean you can't visit people on different planes, but, you know, people are on different planes. And hopefully the idea is that you learn from this lifetime and you move up, or maybe you stay where you are. Or if you've been really rotten, you move down one because you've got to repeat the class.
You get not regulated. What's it called? What's the football term?
Relegated.
Yeah. Relegated, that's it.
And that really is how it works. It doesn't mean you're kind of banished to the bowels of hell. It just means you've got to learn that lesson again. If it's really bad, maybe you go down two levels, and you have to kind of pick yourself back up. So everybody's got these chances, you know, you've continually given chances to raise yourself, your vibration, your power. But this particular person said to this person, I'm not going to do gender, on their deathbed, that they would find them and continue to torture them from the other side. And
sounds horrific.
Had followed this poor person around with them. And I was able to tell them that I'd seen this courtroom situation before they told me, even began to say what that was about. Because my guys weren't bringing me that negativity. You know, they were just showing me that. And this person was definitely in another universe and wasn't allowed to mix with her or hers.
Thank goodness.
You know. Lots of things are true at the same time. We do pass. We absolutely pass. And we absolutely go. I don't believe it's always light, you know. I don't believe it's dark either. We talk about frame of references, whatever your frame of reference. But I do want to say one thing. I did a meditation today because I knew we were doing this. And I said to my guides, I told them yesterday because they're always better if they've got notice, which makes you laugh. You always think that's
It's like a prime
funny.
Minister's question yeah. time. You've got to submit the questions yeah. and give him time to come up with
so
an
I
answer.
So I said, what do you want people to hear about this subject? What do you want people to hear? And they said to me that people judge themselves far more harshly than we judge them. And that's what they wanted. And we're, in effect, our own kind of
Judge and jury.
Exceptions, obviously, are made for certain people, but by and large, we are our own judge and jury. And not everybody will have the self-awareness. And that's where kind of passing over and seeing, you know, you may not realise you've hurt somebody, but you can see it on the other side. And then you kind of, you know, you attempt to put that right and things like that, but it doesn't banish you to eternal hell, which is kind of more religious.
Yeah,
really,
yeah. So you know, at sort of time of passing, and this would probably differ in terms of how you pass, and I've seen videos online, and it's in relation more to people in hospital beds who know that they're at the end of their journey. And they then will or have said things like, oh, my mum is there, has come to get me, or the angels are coming down. Does that happen?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. My grandmother, before she passed, was talking. My mother passed before my grandmother, and she was talking about seeing my mother. She was also talking about seeing her mother. Absolutely. And I knew they were in the room. I could see them in the room with her. Absolutely. 100%. Yes.
That's wild, isn't it?
We're meant to kind of
have that help, that assistance.
That assistance, yeah.
When my mother's mother passed away, and my mother told me the story, so she was there when my nan took her last breath, and then she said this white light appeared at the top of my nan's head, slowly moved down the whole of her body, and when it got to the feet, just disappeared. Yeah. So was that like the soul?
Yeah, the soul leaving the body. But it depends how open we are to these things as to what we see. Because we have somebody in group who's recently lost a parent, and they saw a kiss, and they called it the kiss of death, but them being given a kiss by spirit, you know. And yeah, it's kind of, from what I've been shown, it's lovely. I asked for them to show it to me today, and I said, and I've seen it before, I said, show me how what it would look like for me. And I was just in a really warm place. I could feel the sunshine on my skin. We talk about trains a lot. A family member died about a year or so ago, and I saw her on a train with lots of people after she passed, about 3 days after she passed. But for me, they put me on a boat, and I was like, I was travelling onwards. I wasn't scared or anything. It was, you know, necessary.
Yeah. So when you pass, and is it what we all have not been taught, but sort of read, etc., that there's this light, and you go down the tunnel of light. When you get to the end, it's the pearly gates, and if your name's down, you're coming in, or you're going on the escalator down, or...
No. Talking about religion, yeah, now.
Or is it the scene from, like, Beetlejuice,
where... I've never seen Beetlejuice, no.
Watch it, it's quite good. Yeah. Where he goes to the other side, and Juno is his caseworker, and she starts going through what he did on Earth, what he was bad at, etc.
Yeah, I don't think spirits much go through. I think you get to see, you know. But I think a lot of people, before they even get there, already know, you know, are very self-aware. And so it's almost unnecessary. Like I said, my guide said that they want people to know that we judge ourselves more harshly than they judge us, you know. And I think that's important. What is interesting, another subject related to this, is how long does it take to pass? Because, you know, doing this kind of stuff, people wonder if somebody's passed, how long before they can come through, et cetera, et cetera. And that's one I wanted to get out in the open as well, because that is different for everybody. And really my experience of that is that if somebody's had a lot of mental trauma, there will be healing on the other side of them to get through that. And sometimes that takes a little bit of time. It doesn't mean they can't come through, because they do come through, but they're normally, when I'm pointing over there now, because they're normally over there or over there when they come through to me on these things. Sorry, if you're not seeing this, I'm just pointing ahead.
Visualize a room, yeah.
Visualize a room. And so I can see them standing there, but they're very well protected with their guides and family members. They will come. There's huge support if somebody's had a hard time mentally for them to come through if I've got a relative with me. And the way I know that they've kind of got past all of that and had the help for that is that they come through with less people there, maybe on their own or just with one other person. But I would say for everybody, it's different. I've had people come to me relatively quickly. I've been able to pick up through other spirits kind of what they're doing if they can't come through themselves. You tend to find people that do things that we do and are very into this come through quicker. And it's not because of any skill, but almost it's because it's natural to them. So they do come through quicker. I had a friend who rang me a couple of months ago and said it wasn't a family member of hers. Somebody had died in their sleep, young person. That night, and she was ringing me the next day, oh, isn't it awful? And as soon as she said it, this person was here next to me. So that was very quick. So it depends, basically.
Okay, so my next question...
I'm confused, you know.
No. So my next question is, and I did touch on it earlier, is there this tunnel of light? And the reason I ask, I read this book called Journey of Souls.
See, if you could see the look now I'm giving Sean.
it's called Journey of Souls.
Have you mentioned this before?
I have, yes. Michael Newton, PhD, and he did case studies of life between living, so people having sort of near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. And I saw, ironically, I saw a video on TikTok the other day, 9,000 case studies he's done. I thought it was only a couple of hundred. And he did it with many denominations, you know, atheists, Roman Catholics, Christians, etc. Yeah. And the majority of them had the same experience.
Right.
That near-death experience, they went down this tunnel of light, as if you go in on holiday, you know, in the airport, on the escalator flat,
And at the end was the welcoming party. So is that true, or is that they're just sort of like
not
thought?
Been my experience, but what I would say, I don't want to completely dismiss his work. What, again, I'm going to bore you all with frame of reference. Whatever, if you feel like that's the path, spirit, when you pass, are not here to frighten the wits out of you. They're not picking you up and thinking, ooh, let's take him on a roller coaster, or let's take him in a lift and press the basement floor, you know. They're not trying to scare you. So that is obviously your frame of reference. That's what I would say. That's not kind of real in any way. And I know that's a very boring answer, but that's the only way I can explain it, because we talk about this. What I want to do in this podcast is, you'll know if I'm talking about what somebody else has said. I will only ever give you what I've been shown, whether it be through readings, through meditation, through messages. So I will only get directly to me. So it's difficult for me to comment on that because he's somebody I don't know and haven't read the book, but frame reference is important.
Okay. And then what is life like on the other side? Is it like what we experience now, where you can sit around a table and have a chat with people who've passed over, family, friends, etc.? Or is it you're just like an energy source where there's nothing material, there's no matter to a certain degree, it's just light? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think you make, you know, when you, I liken this to dreams, okay? You know when you go to bed and you have a nice dream, okay? You're not in that situation, but you're visualizing that situation. That's what it's like. So even though you're light, you're still able to create these nice situations. You're still able to go for that walk on the beach you used to like. My grandfather came through once and was very disappointed. He used to like to go down to the Sunken Gardens on Aberavon Beach,
which is in Port Talbot, South Wales.
I keep on getting told off for doing local references. And he came through to me once and he said, it's very, very different now. It's very much changed and he's very disappointed with it. You know, so, you know, I've seen him kind of return to these places. So they spend time on earth with us. They spend time in spirit. I have seen family members of mine in this huge meadow like garden with a big house, coming in, seeing me coming to them and coming and saying hello, and they're playing cricket and things like that. Because what I want people to do is, the only thing I can liken it to is dreams. So when you dream, and we're not talking about nightmares because you watched a horror film. We're talking about nice dreams, okay? When you dream something, you haven't got your eyes open. You're not seeing. You're not hearing, okay? So what are you doing?
So it's like a high level of consciousness, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. And so that is the only thing that I can liken that to. And I have seen these beautiful images. I have seen images where it doesn't look like it's on Earth. Looks like it's in a completely different place. But always the feeling around it is lovely. The feeling is nice. The feeling is pure energy, you know. It's not a bad feeling.
And basically you can recreate anything you want. That gives you that nice feeling.
Yes,
whereas
absolutely.
With dreams, we don't have control over dreams.
But I see a lot of people in spirit learning in a kind of university situation for spirit, and learning how to kind of to go through, especially if they're preparing to come back down, they want to kind of get some more information on a particular thing, or I've seen a lot of spirit just relaxing and enjoying themselves and not doing anything in particular. A lot of spirit guides, spirit come down and look after us. I say come down, they don't come down, they kind of come in and out and look after us. It's a common misconception that spirit are grieving like us. They do grieve for us, they do get upset. My mother's come through tearful a few times. She's been upset about things. But they kind of, I always, often my grandfather, my poor grandfather, he hates it when I do this. But I sit and chat to him quite a lot because he's probably the most talkative of all the spirits I have around, you know. And then he's kind of almost, I can see him looking at his watch and going, right, is that it? Because I've got other things to do.
The bar is open. The pub is open.
To be around you. You know, it's kind of, and that's in its own way is nice that you think, okay, they're not just, you know, here to kind of support me and lift me up. They've got their own thing going on and they're busy. Just like when I'm trying to communicate with spirit, you know, I'm busy. I've got things to do first. I've maybe got to do some work or I've got to go somewhere. I've got to go shopping or whatever. And then I come back and I talk to them. It's the same for them. They've got things going on.
Here's a question. So as an example, if your grandfather decided to come back to Earth, his soul.
Yeah.
Is he then not able to connect with you as a soul that's passed?
On what we said, which probably blew everybody's minds or not, or probably thought, God, that Lisa's ridiculous, that leaving a bit of ourselves behind, potentially.
So they can be in two places at once, so to speak.
Yes, but it's rare. I have seen it, but it's rare. They tend to stick around. Bear in mind, there's no time for them there. It doesn't hurt them to kind of... For our, you know, if somebody passes, like a parent or grandparent, and we're desperate to see them, it doesn't hurt them to wait around for 40, 50, 60 years for us to pass. It's a blink of an eye for them. So the idea that they would come down and kind of reincarnate and then we would go back and not be able to kind of see them is unlikely, but it has happened. It has happened. I have seen it, but it's rare.
And who decides when it's time to come back? Is that us. Or us and our higher guides? Or do we have the ultimate control?
We can be persuaded. We can be sent for a mission sometimes. Sometimes there is no mission but to go and enjoy. Other times, something specific that we needed to do. And it's like anything, you know, somebody can say, right, okay, somebody of a higher vibration, I know you're happy here. I know you kind of want to kick around, kick that football, go and sip some margaritas on a beach in Mexico. But actually, there's something important that needs to be done. And we still have our own freedom to choose. However, more likely than not, we're going to agree.
It's fascinating. And then do you think, and I'll tell you a reading that I had, that souls, if somebody has lived together on Earth, you know, within a family and friends,
yeah,
and then they pass on,
yeah,
and then all the people in that sort of like circle pass on, then the next life, are those souls able to come back and be reunited? So, as in, your soul sort of mate. Type thing. Like I had a reading not so long ago and I was told that Sean was my partner now. We were together in a previous life. I passed away early due to an accident.
Mm.
As you imagine, Sean was heartbroken.
He looks heartbroken.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? And and obviously we've come back together now in this life.
Yeah.
You know, and our souls found each other.
Yes. Do you want to give them your quote? So I'm looking at my husband now. That Plato, is it Plato?
Yeah, the idea that everybody effectively is almost like a circle, but that because of man's hubris, they got split by the gods. So you're always looking for the other half of your circle to make yourself complete. And when you do, you are whole again.
So that was probably the most romantic thing Phil ever said to me. Anna's ever said
quite
to me.
Quite deep.
Since. not that I'm being, you know, critical. Anyway, yes. So there's that. I just wanted him to say that because I thought that was quite relevant to this. You can choose, basically. I do firmly believe we come down with lives without our soulmate and we don't always have our soulmate, but we get by, you know. But I have seen myself with Phil time and time again, time and time again. And you know, I talk about this often with people because I met Phil later in life. So later in life, I'm, you know, I've been married before. And I think, you know, if I'd met Phil back then in my 20s, we wouldn't be together now because we're very different people. And so I think you're meant to sometimes meet these people later on. When you've got the lessons under your belt. But I do think it's different. I don't, you know, because you hear the term soul families. I don't really like the term soul families. I think they're more of a tribe. And when I think of a tribe, I think of relations within that tribe, but also kind of people that aren't related in that tribe, and people come into the tribe and people leave the tribe to local tribes, you know, and it's kind of mixed like that. And that's how I see it. And, you know, if we come back with the same person over and over and over again, sometimes those lessons. And when I say lessons, I don't mean tough lessons. I just mean, you know, what we want to learn in life.
To
get the best out of it aren't possible. Sometimes they suit, sometimes they don't. I just think Phil and I are very needy. That's why we just come back time and time again with each other. but you don't always see it. I do believe people have a soulmate. Absolutely.
And then your parents then, are they part of that soul family?
Not always. Sometimes. But we both know, you know, like everybody who's listening to this podcast, know people that have not had the best parents, and people have had amazing parents. And, you know, it's all about, I know I'm boring, it's all about the lessons in life.
Yeah, you know, life is one big lesson, isn't it?
Life is one big lesson, and sometimes those lessons are absolutely amazing, and sometimes they're kind of just little lessons, and other times they're bigger lessons, you know. And it just, the answer is, it depends. There's not one size fits all, which is going to be a theme through this podcast, I think.
Yeah, it's all about learning, you know? Isn't it? You know, life is about learning. And I think, you know, as you said before, you know, if you've had experiences, you know, if you've had a near-death experience, you know, get in touch. It'd be great to hear about your experience. And I think I mentioned on a previous podcast, there's a doctor who's based in the UK who's done some research. And hopefully we can get her on the podcast and talk about the research, you know, which is done over many years. And people sort of could see themselves lying on the recess table in the hospitals, etc. Because that's fascinating as well.
Absolutely. And I absolutely believe most people come and have a look at the gander at their own funerals. I've been to funerals and I've seen them there, you know, because why wouldn't you? Really?
Yeah, you want to see who showed up.
Who showed up.
Yeah. And who hasn't, and haunt them then, sort of, for not coming, you know? Right, that's a joke.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that you're kind of earthbound, you know, to go to that funeral. It just, you are in spirit. You can come here very easily, you know? But the earthbound thing, I hate that. Like, it's one of my pet hates, the earthbound thing. If I can dispel people of that myth, I would really like to do that. And the myth that is portals.
We'll talk about that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's disagreement even in my own circle on that. But yeah. But that's good. That's healthy.
To have that debate, you know, and try and find, you know, the right answer. And will we ever find right answers? A lot of things, probably not.
Well, you know, you do this and you're absolutely certain in yourself. You think, right, that is it. That is definitely blah, blah, blah. But you're always conscious that you're telling somebody else, and you forget sometimes that it's almost like it's been a proven scientific fact for you that this is happening, and you kind of wax lyrical and evangelically about what you've seen, and you do forget that people are looking at you sometimes and thinking, okay, you're all right, Lisa.
Yeah, yeah. Where are the men in white coats? Yeah. It's time to sort of cart us off, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Excellent. And yeah, and on that note, again, if you want to get in touch with us, then please do via Facebook or TikTok, Talking Ghosts.
Yes.
And we hope you enjoyed this podcast about passing over. A couple of things.
There's been some reassurance as well.
Yeah. Any other questions you got about passing over experiences, then, you know, please get in touch with us. Don't forget, if you're based in South Wales in the UK, we're in Swansea Grand Theatre on Friday, May the 24th.
Phil?
24th. Yes, 24th, May the 24th. If you go onto our Facebook page, there's a link on there to buy tickets. Yeah. It'd be great to see you. And it'll just be an evening of engagement evidence, yeah. You know, talking about experiences.
We will be doing other shows as well. We are kind of just trying to get our backsides in gear to organise other shows in different parts of the country as well.
And the world.
And the world.
Swansea to San Francisco, yeah. Sounds appealing.
Well, my spirit guides have told me to start booking shows in the UK up until September. I don't know what on earth is happening in September, but they want me to stop for September. So I think maybe we're going elsewhere.
Going in international.
International, yes. But yeah, we will be coming to a theatre near you. And please, yeah, come along. And we're hoping to really get you all involved. We're hoping spirit's going to come through. We're hoping you're going to be able to see it, feel it, hear it. And we are hoping to be able to answer your questions and give up some readings as well.
Yeah, so be there. So Friday, 24th of May at Swansea Grand Theatre. And thanks to Philip and Sean, our production crew, as ever.
AKA who do a lot of spouses.
Yeah, who do a lot of work in the background. And yeah. We'll see you soon.
See you soon. Bye.